to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, and our guest is Michael Bastash. He covers very impressively the energy portfolio at a terrific publication online, The Daily Caller. And as I say, in the area of energy, there is, of course, a great deal that has bearing on national security. And Michael's reporting helps inform those of us who are trying to keep an eye on both of these things. We're always glad to talk with him. And let me welcome him back with a proper Happy New Year. Michael, good to have you.
Thanks. Happy New Year.
So let me pick up on something you wrote about on the 6th at the Daily Caller, and that is that there seems to be a growing sense that the United States might actually, in the not-too-distant future, become, well, what they've long told us we could become, but it's eluded us so far, energy independent. Michael, talk a little bit about what that would mean and how changes have to be made to some of President Obama's practices and decisions should it come to pass.
Yeah, so energy independence, now when we're talking about it, technically refers to becoming a net exporter of energy. It essentially is telling, you know, signaling to the rest of the world that we produce more energy than we use, so we have enough to send it abroad. You know, it doesn't really mean that we won't import fuel, but in case something ever happened, it means we would have enough fuel or energy to meet our daily needs. In case, you know, there was a scenario like the Arab oil embargo in the 1970s. And that's where this whole discussion got started, after people had to wait in line for hours and hours for gasoline. And it's pretty interesting that, you know, Donald Trump could be the first president to preside over a quote-unquote energy-independent America. After, you know, about 40 years of us talking about it, it could finally happen. And that's pretty astounding.
Let's get to the brass tacks here. The president of the United States, Barack Obama, has obstructed the construction of oil pipelines. He has placed off limits much of the Arctic. He has tried to declare parts of the offshore areas also off limits. He's declared war on coal. Michael Bastash, how many of those are going to have to be undone? And is that as a practical matter possible?
Yeah, I think a lot of what Obama has put in place, whether it's the moratorium on federal leased coal, closing off the Arctic and the Atlantic areas to offshore drilling, but, you know, really just restricting federal land and water energy development in general, I think all of that is going to have to be repealed. And it's not just a case of government policy. It's also a case of what oil prices and gas prices are going to look like. But I think actually kind of the most underrated thing is what is technology going to look like? Are we going to be able to more efficiently and cheaply drill? That's going to have a bigger impact on what our productions look like. If we can drill for $1 a gallon like Saudi Arabia, we can frack for that here, which they're pretty close to doing that in Texas. You know, that changes the entire energy game. But like you said, a lot of that is going to have to do with, are we going to have all these restrictions, whether it's like methane flaring, restrictions on wells, and other things that the Obama administration put into place.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't restrictions on methane flaring actually be a net positive thing if what that means is you're capturing that methane and you're able to make use of it as an energy source in its own right?
It would. But the thing is, this is methane that the companies can't economically cap. So you don't want to vent methane. You want to capture it because you're letting your product go into the atmosphere.
Exactly.
You don't want to have to burn it off for nothing. You want to capture it and send it to people to buy. So this is the methane flaring and the gas flaring that we're seeing in the fracking field and that the Obama administration environmentalists talk about is basically uneconomic flaring. It's things that for whatever reason right now, the oil and gas companies can't capture for economically.
Let me ask you about a piece of all of this that has largely gone unnoted. Michael, I know you have noted it, and this is one of the reasons why we value your work at the Daily Caller so much. Namely, amidst all of the thrashing going on about how beastly the Russians are being by hacking and getting into our elections and so on, almost completely unremarked has been the extent to which Vladimir Putin has tried to destroy our fracking industry. Would you talk a little bit about what the Russians have been up to in that regard and to what effect?
Yeah, and you know, this is something that people have been talking about for, in energy circles have been talking about for years. What role have the Russians been playing in the anti-fracking movement around the globe? It's not just in the United States, it's around the globe. And what the recent Director of National Intelligence report showed was that, and they confirmed this, what people, Russia, Vladimir Putin's regime, was using the station formerly known as Russia Today, now just called RT, which they described as their principal propaganda outlet. They've been running anti-fracking programming for years, you know, calling into question, making claims about water contamination that haven't been substantiated by research, about how it exacerbates global warming. They're very anti-pipeline, especially with anti-Keystone and the new Dakota Access Pipeline. And, you know, they basically, and it's not just in the U.S. too. RT has been willing to cover every small protest across Eastern Europe, and they just, you know, happen to know where it is and be there at the right time.
Michael Bestash, so the Russians have been seeking to keep us energy dependent. Interestingly enough, one of the people who has partnered with them in trying to enhance their own ability to tap Arctic reserves especially has been the man Donald Trump has designated to be his Secretary of State, Rex Tillerson. You've written a piece recently that the people who are likely to give him the hardest time on Capitol Hill have all taken money from, if not, I don't know, the Russians perhaps, but certainly from environmentalists in this country who share their general view of the kinds of steps you've discussed for energy independence here. But what is your read on what Rex Tillerson's role has been? Is it as net plus that the Russians have become more capable of extracting energy from the Arctic? And how would that bear upon their, you know, strength relative to us, as you see it?
Yeah. You know, I think in terms of global economics, obviously the more oil we produce, the better. But on the other hand, Russia uses oil as a weapon, and same thing with gas. So it's hard to say. And Exxon's in a tough spot. They went over to Russia at a time when the U.S. was not being seen as an energy producer. We were continually, projections were showing us we were going to be net energy importers, especially when it came to oil and natural gas. And no one really had conceived of this fracking revolution yet, especially the oil majors like Chevron and Exxon and these big companies. They tend to be less risky, and they don't want to make investments in this new technology. So they go where the oil is. And a lot of the oil was, they thought, was going to be in the Arctic, and the U.S. wasn't as friendly as Russia was to drilling in the Arctic.
Look, my sense of this is that this is a classic example of where, you know, corporate interests and national interests may not be identical. And to the extent
exactly
that it made a lot of sense for ExxonMobil, it may not have made much sense for the United States as a whole. It'll be interesting to see how Tillerson navigates both in his confirmation hearings this week and also in his policy deliberations going forward, assuming he is confirmed, a sort of reorienting of his approach to looking after what's best for America going forward. Michael Bestash, we are out of time. There's so much more to talk with you about. I hope you will come back to us again often in 2017. And in the meantime, I again say thank you for taking the time today and Happy New Year to you. I hope the rest of you will be joining us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.